Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I'm your host, Cheryl Glick, intuitive energy practitioner and also a Reiki teacher. Joining me today on webtalkradio.net is my very special guest, Dr. Matthew Edlund, an internationally recognized expert on obtaining real health, and the emphasis is on real health, physical, mental, social, and spiritual. Dr. Edlund is the chief of the Center for Circadian Medicine in Sarasota, Florida, and his previous books include The Power of Rest, Designed to Last, and The Body Clock Advantage. Hello, Dr. Edlund.
Hello. How are you, Sean?
Very good, and thank you for being here with us today. Before we start our wonderful discussion today on how to stay healthy, Matthew, you know, as our listeners of this show, Healing From Within, know, it's a show that encourages change through embracing new activities for a healthy lifestyle and also for making an effort to contribute to our communities. And part of a healthy life for me has always been to see our children become active and mature and grow into participating in their communities. And right now in California, my son Greg is part of a fundraiser, dogfordiabetics.com, a group that trains dogs to help monitor the blood sugar levels of their diabetic owners. My son Greg was lucky enough to be selected by this organization to have Trajan come to live and work with him. And Trajan helps to ensure his health and safety. And I would love to see more dogs trained across the country to assist other young people in dealing with type 1 diabetes. So for my listeners, please go to dogsfordiabetics.com to learn more about the work of this group and ways you may help. Now, Matthew, getting back to your wonderful new book, Healthy Without Health Insurance. You suggest, and I wholeheartedly agree, that we learn how to protect our health, which is actually, indeed, our most valuable asset. And people don't realize just how valuable it is until they lose it. So you offer a step-by-step program, which, when followed, will improve ordinary activities in our life and maximize our health and offer ways to regenerate the body. In this episode, we are also going to discuss what kinds of health care insurance we really need and how to get it without going broke. Also, we will discuss exercise, nutrition, stress-reducing mechanisms, and improving sleep patterns, and also how to improve personal interactions and group activities, because they're all necessary for having a good, wonderful, healthy lifestyle and life experience. So, as Healing From Within also shows to our listeners or tries to provide, we try to provide information on how to learn more about our bodies, our physical life, our emotions, and our spiritual influences, and in that way offer new approaches. And what we talk about today will be aimed in that direction. Matthew, please tell us something about your medical background, your areas of specialty, and what are the healing modalities you have focused your attention on? And maybe also what was your prime motivation to write this book at this time, especially at this time?
My prime motivation in writing this book was that I live in Southwest Florida, which has been shell-shocked economically. And a lot of people have been coming into my office saying, look, I'm about to lose my health insurance, I've lost my job, I'm probably going to lose my house. What do I do to get healthy? And I said quite a lot of things. Because unfortunately in the United States, we tend to equate health care with health. And in fact, they often don't have that much to do with each other. Lifespan is about lifestyle. The longest lived populations in the United States are Asian American women in Suffolk County, New York. Their expected lifespan is 95.6 years. That's the longest of any group worldwide. And I think it's sort of stuff that people should recognize they can do themselves. Ordinary activities can have extraordinary results if people realize how their body works, how information flows through the body, very much like energy, how that information gets used to regenerate and remake the body. And my background is in sleep medicine, psychiatry, internal medicine, and public health.
Mm-hmm.
So my attitudes as a result of that kind of training are going to be very different. I worry a lot about what's going to happen to the overall population. And there are so many things that could be done in this country to make us healthier. It's absolutely mind-boggling, but our minds are all focused on what's
the
going
material
on
world. Yeah, the material world and
healthcare, and not looking at what we do on a daily basis that can really give us real health, physical health, mental health, social health, spiritual health, the stuff that really matters. Because medicine is all about the medical model. It's absence of disease. Fix the machine. We're not machines. We're human beings. We live.
Mm-hmm.
We rebuild. Most of us is new in about 3 to 4 weeks. That's the exciting result. If people can recognize how much of them is rebuilt, renewed, regenerated by themselves just to stay alive, they'll recognize how much they can do to make themselves healthy under their own control.
You know what, Matthew, I just interviewed a woman last week, Dr. Charlotte Tamano, and she's a neuropsychologist. And she mm-hmm. talked about, of course, reprogramming the neurons in the brain to eliminate past patterns which were emotionally negative, perhaps, and causing us to react in the same way with not positive results. And you're saying the same thing. Reprogram our health, restructure our body, change at the cellular level by creating a healthier memory or informational pattern within all the systems of the body.
The body processes information. That's what we do. Most of the information we're not aware of. Mm. When we go outside and we walk in the sun, we're not realizing how that's resetting our biological clocks. We don't see the hundreds of different bacteria and viruses that are coming in that our immune system is then going to respond to. We don't see how our brain is growing, how our heart is growing. We see our hair grow. We see our nails grow. We don't see all the internal changes inside. And that stuff is very exciting because it not only makes us alive, but it also gives us the capacity to always make change. And that's what people have to recognize. It's never too late. There's always something you can do.
So what you're really saying is you want everyone to put their health under their own control by recognizing the patterns that they're responding to and changing some of the stressful situations, perhaps, and across the board, do everything they can to enjoy their lives in a positive, uplifting way and a healthy way. I think that's where we're going here, and you're absolutely right. Can you please tell us how people can, well, you just said, how they can assume more responsibility for their state of wellness, but why is it that a third of all U.S. deaths are linked to income and economic inequality?
For many reasons. One of them is that poor people tend not to have the same access to food or to safe environments or to places that are easy and pleasant to exercise. They often have less control over their jobs if they have them. They have less control over their lives in general, which has a big impact on survival. They tend to be more prone to the advertising pitches from the thousands of things out there that use all the evolutionary quirks in a human being to make us ill, whether it's tobacco, alcohol, cocaine, fast food.
In other words, instead of worrying so much about health insurance and the government plans for health insurance, we also need to help the population and the poor population to have access to improve the quality of their thinking, their eating, their sleeping patterns, their communicating better with those in their environment. They need more education. They need more. Yeah.
The things that keep people alive longest have been the same for 100 years. Population survivals have doubled. I mean, the lifespan of people has doubled in the last 100 years in most developed countries. And it's done that because of vaccination, sanitation,
mm-hmm.
education, nutrition. It's not because of medical care. If you look at what happened to the beginning of antibiotics, 3/4 of infectious disease deaths in the United States occurred before there was any development of effective antibiotics. People ascribe a lot of things to healthcare that have everything to do with how they live, everything they to do with public health. And if you look at poor people, you find that, at least in British studies, the closer they are to green space, the more they have safe streets to walk into or places where they can congregate and socialize, you see a decrease in overall death differential. The survival rate between the rich and the poor literally goes in half, just that people have a place to go to.
I agree. That's probably more important even than having a great meal, just to have a great conversation and a great feeling of connection to other people. And, you know, our country ranks 50th in the world in life expectancy, and our insurance is twice as much. So I want to ask you this. Why does our country, this has been disturbing me since I read your book, why does our country rank 50th in the world? In a country where we have so much and we have shared so much with the world and we offer so much help monetarily to poor cultures and civilizations, why? Why is that?
Because we don't care about health. We care about health care. And other countries have recognized in many cases, the Germans since the 1880s, that a healthy economy requires a healthy population. And a healthy population is going to be affected by how people eat, how people move, how people rest, how people socialize, not by their healthcare system. The healthcare system may add 2 or 3 years, whereas lifestyle may add 10 or more years to the overall population survival. So the recognition has to come that we really need to be talking about health, not healthcare.
And preventative methods, like alternative healing methods. Well, I'm an energy practitioner, and what I help people do is help them relax, learn to breathe, learn to let go of stress, learn to improve the quality of their relationships, and that's what we need more of.
We need a lot of things, but we have to recognize that food policy is also health policy. And when you subsidize foods that are going to make people diabetic and obese, you're basically shooting yourself in the head. That when you don't enforce pedestrian laws and people don't feel safe to walk out on the streets, no, they're not going to control their weight. No, they're not going to get healthier. And that when people finally realize that something as simple as walking 20 or 30 minutes at lunchtime can actually grow them new brain cells, that they will grow during sleep, that they will be able to use them to create more memory in the next few days, we have this regenerative capacity if we know how to use it. We have to use our bodies the way they are built. And in most cases, we don't. We treat our bodies like machines. And I think that's what's really the big problem in the U.S. right now. We think of ourselves as machines. We work with machines. We act like machines. We're not. We're living beings.
We're living organisms. And so is this planet, for that matter. And the life force that sustains us from this planet is a living force.
Yes. So, and we're connected to many, many different forces in that. And that includes, for example, dogs. I talked to a cousin of mine who's an internist in Connecticut, and he says to me he can tell among his older patients who's going to survive, they have a dog. And why do they survive longer? Because they have a social connection with that dog. You have a connection with animals that's very different than you have with people, because a dog needs to be walked, because a dog will walk you to meet other dogs and their owners. This is social connection. This is physical activity. This is regularity of pattern. There are so many things that are healthy in something as simple as having a pet. So if you can just look at things from the standpoint of what is the real answer to the regeneration question, what am I doing this hour, this minute, this day that's going to help regenerate my body, people can come up with simple answers on their own that can be very effective in their daily lives.
Well, part of the answer is to change their thinking, have more positive attitudes. Now, I was once told this a long time ago by a nurse, and she said to me, you know, I don't judge how old a person is by the years. You can have a 30-year-old who is not as healthy as a 65-year-old. So a lot of factors go into judging how healthy we are. But basically, what you and I are talking about here in regeneration is regenerating our thinking, regenerating our actions, regenerating how we give out to the world what comes innately from us, from within, from our internal life force and source of connection to all that is and was and will be. It's like it's a program that goes on and on if you recognize your own personal power and love of life, which is a very important force too in dealing with how long and what quality of life you will have. So let me ask you something. You give some many, many practical suggestions in your book for improving our health and staying well. Now, I'm very interested about sleep patterns, and that's one of your specialties. And I know a lot of people have trouble sleeping. They have factors like snoring. They have adrenal problems. They may have sinus problems. And what do you suggest a person do who's having difficulty sleeping? Because sleep is very important.
There's basically three kinds of sleep disorders. There are people who sleep too much, people who sleep too little, and people who do weird things in their sleep. But in terms of people who sleep too little, that's probably including a large part of the population. And one of the reasons is people just don't take enough time for it. They see sleep as passive wastes of time. Don't think of it that way. Think of it as the rewiring, renewing, and regenerating the body in this very special state, which involves all kinds of different forms of consciousness. If we could remember them all, we'd probably think we had several lives. So the big trick with sleep is to just say, one, how much of it do I need? Two, give myself the time and the conditions that will allow that to happen, basically a calming, cool, comfortable place to sleep, the three C's. Next, set it up so that it's conditioned so you actually will go to sleep and get up at similar times. Because sleep is all about conditioning. It's often about
pattern,
biological
about a
clocks.
Good pattern.
Yeah, and if you just have it so that there's a very regular pattern. And I think then the last thing that's really critical is to rest before you sleep. People have this image of themselves as a machine. They turn the light switch on, they turn the light switch off. It's the American model of sleep, what we call the lie down and die model. Very much treating your body like a machine. Your body's not a machine. First, you have to calm down before you sleep. So you close off all your electronic devices, you turn the lights down, you floss your teeth, you brush your teeth, you put out your clothes for the next day, you turn down your bed, you do a whole bunch of regular activities each night that prepares your brain and body for the wonders of sleep, because you literally are going to rewire your brain while you sleep.
And you're really winding down. You know, when you exercise, you stimulate the muscles before you overdo it. You know, you warm up the muscles. And then when you stop exercising, you wind down and do a little stretching. It's the same thing with sleeping. You have to prepare.
Consciousness varies throughout the 24-hour day. And you want to have periods of rest and periods of activity and periods of physical activity and periods of mental activity. There's a season for everything. And if you can just recognize that you got body clocks that control that, that you really are meant to sleep at night, not necessarily to party, not necessarily to work, though a lot of people have to work at night in order to keep their jobs. If you just recognize what your body is built to do and that a large part of that is rest so you can regenerate, then people will have a much easier time getting healthy.
Let me get back to something that we talked about at the beginning of the show. You said many people, and here in New York, I'm aware of it too, are so worried about losing their jobs and their homes and their children staying in school. And we're also worried about the children who are getting educations and what's going to happen to them when they come out and have to get into the world. Now, do you have, as a doctor, any ideas about some of these problems and Obama's new plan for health care and how maybe we could get it to work in a simpler but better way?
Health care is a giant topic. What I would tell you is emphasize health before health care. Emphasize the stuff that people can control on their own and that they can do as communities to make things work. How you eat, how you move, how you rest, how you socialize, critical stuff. Vaccination, also critical stuff for children. And if kids want to be healthy, they basically should do things that kids are meant to do. They should play. They should play outside. They should play with each other. They should learn to socialize. They should get themselves away from being connected so much to the net that they feel in withdrawal as soon as somebody turns off one of their cell phones.
That's one of the questions I was going to ask you. What are your thoughts on the extensive use of smartphones, the internet, and our children?
We're going to use smartphones for a long time. We're going to have mobile computing everywhere. The problem is that people have to recognize its limits. And they have to recognize that the Internet's not just changing people's brains, which it's doing in a very basic way, but it's also going to change their bodies. And it's not just going to be Internet phone crook, where your neck is sort of twisted as you look down on your cell phone, but literally the way that people use their phones, how it changes information coming into the body, is going to change the body. And one of the ways it's doing that is a lot of kids are waking up in the middle of the night to text, and do a whole bunch of other things, and they don't realize that the light coming off the phone itself is blowing out their biological clocks.
So this is all very dangerous. So how can we get parents and children to stop doing these dangerous situations? You're putting themselves in danger.
Just put limits on it. Just say, here's the number of hours you can use a phone. No, you can't do five things at once because the brain basically does one, so you can't be surfing the net and texting and watching TV and doing video games and doing your math homework at the same time.
In other words, slow down and smell the roses. Do everything once.
Use the body the way it's built. We're just not built to do these things. What's hilarious is when they've studied multitaskers versus people who hate to multitask, and they actually get both groups to multitask, there's a complete mismatch between objective and subjective responses. The people who are good at multitasking are the people who don't do it. The people who think they're terrible at multitasking are the people who don't do it. The people who do multitask and think they're great at it, when they're given multitasks to do in a laboratory, not only do it worse than everybody else, get worse with time, and think they're better than everybody else. So we have such a mismatch between what we do and what happens that people have no idea what's really going on.
Well, you're coming to another conclusion here. If we stop judging ourselves and others and just live a life full of all the joys that are possible in this physical plane, we'd all be doing a lot better. I want to ask you, what role do supplements or vitamins play? You talk about this in your book, in maintaining health. A lot of people, I believe, are overdoing that too. They're just popping pills all the time.
I trained in epidemiology, and so basically my feeling is unless you can show that something works in a proper clinical trial where you've taken out all the biases, you don't know if it works or it doesn't. The problem with almost every supplement out there is you've never done a study like that. So you don't know if the stuff works or not. You can know in some cases that supplements might, in certain cases, are on the dangerous side. They include some toxic substances that people know about. But in general, it's just unknown. It's terra incognita out there. You don't know if the stuff's going to work or not. You don't know what it's really going to do. And when they put together these things, five, six, seven different supplements at the same time, nobody has a clue what their end results are going to be. Think of supplements as drugs.
Well,
you've got to treat drugs with a lot of respect, and I would treat supplements with a lot of respect.
I agree. I was told years ago, I was bordering on being anemic, and I took iron supplements for a while. Recently, I had a blood test, and now my iron is too high. I think less is more. I personally feel that, if you don't overdo it, I know myself personally. If I take something every other day, or if they say two pills, maybe I take one for my body, that's enough. And if I forget it, that's okay too. That would be all right. Now, you started off talking in the beginning that Asian American women in Suffolk or Eastern Long Island have this longer lifespan, and I know that to be true. But how about the men? The Asian men?
Not as much.
Why is that?
You just have to understand women are built better than men. That's just the way things are. And there's thousands of potential reasons for that, varying from how mitochondria are structured to what makes a species go. But in general, most diseases are going to be male-selective, not female-selective. males are just not built very well.
Well, I guess the Asian American women, their attitude on, I would think, their attitude on family and their and children, raising children, and what they eat, and how they respect and are grateful for their being here in this country, and the education is very important to them, learning. So I think they're doing all the things that you said are important to a healthy life.
There's thousands of things that are important that we don't know about, but what they are doing is they're eating nutritional variety, mm-hmm. they're socially connected, they're regular in their habits, and they move around a fair bit, though in general not jumping off to go to gyms. And it's amazing what you can do with very little stuff. If people can just have regular patterns and have nutritional variety and be socially connected, you probably can add years and years onto the population and a great deal of pleasure. It's not complicated. Using your body the way it's built is really simple.
Well,
it's just a matter of recognizing it.
Everybody who will look at your book will see that you have offered a very wonderful plan that everyone can do. And this will help the healthcare system. We'll be healthier, so we won't need so much insurance, and the doctors and personnel won't be overpowered by people who really could be taking care of certain situations themselves. And I think that's the answer to what we're looking for in our lives, a way to support our own thinking and health and go forward into a more joyful existence.
Hmm.
In closing, let me say thank you very much, Dr. Matthew Edlund, for a thought-provoking look at the changing needs of our medical system, insurance coverage, and a better way to think about realigning ourselves to a healthy and more positive approach for physical, emotional, and spiritual practices and behaviors that will lead to health. For more information on Dr. Edlund's new book, Healthy Without Health Insurance, Protect Yourself, go to wegethealthynow.com. In today's episode, we have discussed making some changes in our dietary routines, actually having routines in general that will work for us, and evaluating our rest and sleep needs, and to include simple changes that will offer long-lasting effects. We have also looked at everyday activities such as walking and being active, having pets, having better communication, using the internet and our electronics in a better way, not overdoing it, and trying to incorporate changes into all aspects of our life, exercising, food, medical treatment, and interacting socially with our families, friends, and business associates. And that will lead to a longer and more cooperative lifestyle. And then we will be able to formulate a new regenerative plan and assume more responsibility for improving our health. The goals and gains from these inclusions that we just talked about today will help us look and feel better and improve productivity in so many areas of our life. So it's time to relinquish, as Dr. Edlund has said, past thinking that our bodies are machines headed towards degeneration and loss of energy and vitality. And remember, we are organisms that can connect to the universal source of life and tap into information that physicists tell us fill the entire universe, and by using this intelligence, make these profound differences in our health and our interactions with the world. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit the radio page of my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear masters in their respective fields searching in many disciplines to discover or create innovative ways to improve our spiritual, emotional, and physical health, while also learning to understand ourselves and life in a more expansive way.